For the Defense Department, what was once an obscure acquisition approach has now turned into a methodology to fund research, prototyping, and in some cases, production of systems to the tune of tens of billions of dollars. Now, it seems like at any conference or discussion about procurement, the only words on acquisition officials' lips is other transaction authority. Thanks to congressional actions that loosened rules governing other transaction agreements, the Defense Department has significantly increased spending on these contracts.
You know, DOD has really been driving the train on the expansion of the use. As you can see, it's really started to ramp up since 2015, and we expect that trend line is likely to continue because the enthusiasm for OTA continues to grow.
That was Robert Levinson, an analyst at Bloomberg Government. Between 2015 and 2017, the Defense Department spent nearly $21 billion through 148 OTA contracts. The Army alone currently has 561 OTA agreements ongoing for $3.5 billion. Director of the Army Acquisition Corps, Lieutenant General Paul Ostrowski, says the Army is a big fan of OTAs.
We're making use of it, needless to say, and rightfully so. It is a great tool, again, a tool that was given only to DARPA in the beginning and NASA, and all they could do was early experimentation. And over time, Congress has allowed that to go from earlier experimentation all the way through low-rate initial production, and now if that OTA was competitively awarded up front, full-rate production.
When DOD ramped up its use of OTAs, the goal was to be like Silicon Valley, agile, innovative, and willing to fail fast. The awards are supposed to go to companies with that mindset, and normally would not work with DOD. But Federal News Radio's special report, Danger at High Speed, OTAs in Action, finds despite DOD's rationale for OTAs, billions of dollars are still funneling into the old lag contractors like Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and Northrop Grumman. In fact, according to Bloomberg Government, out of the top 10 companies and consortia to receive OTA funding, Boeing came in second, Lockheed Martin in fifth, and Northrop Grumman in sixth. Now, OTAs are starting to turn some heads because they lack transparency associated with traditional contracts. Even the biggest OTA advocates in Congress put some new reporting requirements on the agreements this year.
So they're not transparent. They don't require cost accounting. There aren't rules. So federal contracts have a lot of important rules that are attached to them, right? That the government gets a fair price, that there's certain IP rights that the government retains, that there's certain audit rights that the government automatically gets. None of those have to apply.
That was Angela Stiles, former administrator for procurement policy at the Office of Management and Budget, explaining just how OTAs may be dangerous. One congressional staff member told Federal News Radio that some uses of OTA are more akin to corporate welfare than a way to bring small, non-traditional companies with new ideas into the Pentagon's fold. Over the past 3 years, Congress has continued to loosen the rules around OTAs, giving DOD more gall to flirt with larger OTA agreements and to work with the idea of using OTAs for production. When Congress granted DOD broader authorities for OTAs, House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry said the goal was to encourage more experimentation and prototyping, while at the same time shifting DOD away from spending a lot of money on programs and getting little or nothing in return. Now in 2018, the Defense Unit Experimental signed a nearly $1 billion production OTA agreement with Rheem for cloud services before senior Pentagon officials and the Government Accountability Office stepped in. Likewise, Congress is now demanding more information on the Air Force's Air Operations Center 10.2 OTA, but those two examples are only part of the reason why Congress is starting to show some reservations for how DOD's been using OTAs so far. Lawmakers are seeking more details from the Pentagon in the 2019 Defense Authorization Bill. The House 2019 version of the NDAA would add a reporting requirement telling DOD to report more details on follow-on production options to prototypes using OTAs worth more than $5 million. Congress says OTAs give DOD the potential to move some procurements faster and hopefully open the door to new vendors who can bring innovation to the department. But that speed comes with the risk of relaxed oversight and transparency. OTAs are agreements that don't need to comply with DOD's sometimes clunky and slow contracting rules, which are set by the Federal Acquisition Regulation and the Defense Federal Acquisition Regulation Supplement. The real goal of Congress and DOD in using OTAs is to hack through the layers of red tape, redundant rules, and burdensome paperwork that's built up and delayed federal buying process for the past 50 years. Additionally, DoD officials recognized its culture of demanding exquisite, complex, and near-perfect systems was slowing the acquisition process even more. Countries like China and Russia can buy faster, play looser, and develop quicker than DoD, says David Bertreau, CEO of the Professional Services Council, one of the industry groups which lobbied to Congress to expand DoD's OTA authority.
If you look at the National Defense Strategy that was issued back in January, and it says, okay, China's a big problem, right, and Russia's a big problem, and we got to be better prepared and better organized and structured and putting our resources in priority ways that prepare us to deal with those challenges, right? And you think about how long it might take the Chinese to go from an idea to a prototype to the funding to a program that they're spending money on. And then how long it takes the U.S. to go from an idea and a prototype to a program and resources that you're spending money on. And I'm pretty sure that they're a lot faster than we are at getting there, right? Yeah. It's not likely that we're going to make them go slow like we do. So we got to figure out how to go faster like they are.
So to deal with that, in the 2016 Defense Authorization Bill, Congress expanded the use of OTAs for prototypes to bring in non-traditional companies and to give DoD a vehicle to move faster, essentially opening the floodgates. But analysts told Federal News Radio that DoD could waste a colossal amount of money by paying for a $500 million prototype. Or corporations may use the lack of regulation in OTAs to make a quick buck with a low-quality prototype, leaving DoD with nothing. As Congress gave more authority to DoD for OTAs, the department's been using those authorities for more than just researching and prototyping. But Angela Stiles says that may not be the best way to go about it.
I think it may be more of a symptom than it is the fix, if you will. So the problem is that the procurement system itself is really clunky at this point in time. I mean, particularly for DoD. I mean, you know, for years and years, Congress puts on more rules and regulations, and it makes the products and services more expensive, and it also repels, if you will, some of the companies that DoD wants to work with, probably needs the technology from. And so, you know, I think that's why Congress finally, well, it's either that or some of the people left that were really anti the expansion of OTAs, because there's a lot of risk to having no rules.
Stiles says in return for the lack of rules, DoD doesn't require cost accounting, and it's unclear if the government gets a fair price or who retains the intellectual property rights. The minimal rules and paperwork that go along with OTAs are supposed to bring in business from companies DoD usually doesn't deal with and has trouble attracting. The whole selling point for OTAs is to bring in new companies, since innovation tends to come from the private sector and not much from inside the government like it did in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. One of the most popular ways DoD does business through OTA is to work through a consortium of companies that coalesce around one subject, like robotics or artificial intelligence. The companies that join pay a small fee to the consortium, which acts as a benevolent prime, says Stephen P. Rodriguez, founder of One Defense, which is a network of non-traditional companies interested in working with DoD. Rodriguez says the consortiums are there to help and work with non-traditional companies. The law requires that awards go to non-traditional firms or a partnership where non-traditional companies participate to a significant extent. However, the law doesn't define what significant means, nor does it define what constitutes a non-traditional company. A former congressional staffer who played a key role in drafting many of the congressional directives on the use of OTAs says Congress loosened the rules about non-traditionals so it's easier to qualify for an OTA for any business. Analysts like the Project on Government Oversight's Scott Amy wonder if awards are actually going to non-traditional companies or if they're going to the same old contractors but faster and with less regulation. Data is hard to find since reporting requirements are sparse and there are caveats to the funds that actually go to non-traditional companies. But DoD states 98 of the 148 awards it made between 2015 and 2017 through OTAs went to non-traditional companies. The money, however, tells a different story. Only $7.4 billion of the nearly $21 billion went to those non-traditional companies, according to statistics from DoD. That number is even more shrouded by the fact that awards are often given to consortiums. Those consortiums decide how the money's handed out for an award, and any company can join a consortium. For example, the U.S. National Center for Manufacturing Sciences was the fourth largest recipient of OTAs in the past 3 years. Between 2015 and 2017, DoD awarded the consortium $2 billion. It includes companies DoD usually doesn't do business with, like Crestwood Technology Group, the Manufacturing Group, and Design Innovation Institute and Sustainable Waterworks. But there are also some very familiar names on the list, like Boeing, Booz Allen Hamilton, Honeywell, General Electric, Siemens, and Lockheed Martin. Based on government spending records, it's impossible to know how the $2 billion was divvied up and which firms actually conducted the work for the military. The same goes for the Consortium Management Group Incorporated, which received $4 billion from DoD from 2015 to 2017. It manages two different consortia, C5 and CEED. Both consortia include plenty of non-traditional companies, but familiar names pop up again. L3 Advanced Programs, Leidos, Lockheed Martin, Booz Allen Hamilton, Rockwell Collins, and Boeing. Federal law establishes four requirements for how DoD can use OTA. Two of them require that non-traditional vendors participate in the work to a significant extent, as stated earlier. But large firms can still be involved in those awards. Primes have another way of getting involved in contracts under consortia. If OTAs don't go to a non-traditional company, then one-third of the project must be funded from a non-governmental source. Finally, the law gives DoD procurement executives blanket authority to award OTAs to any firm whatsoever, as long as they determine in writing that exceptional circumstances justify the use of a transaction that provides for innovative business arrangements or structures that would not be feasible or appropriate under a contract. All of this leads to several questions, including who gets the revenue, the intellectual property, or walks away with follow-on contracts. In some cases, those questions are dealt with inside the consortium and have been hammered out in agreements behind closed doors with the government, so it's unknown to the rest of the world. And OTAs aren't being used for futuristic technologies like robotics, man-machine learning, and precision weapons as they were first intended either. Bloomberg analyst Robert Levinson explains.
There's a lot of different activity that could fall under this consortia. There's not much limiting, really. Modeling and simulation, systems integration, analytics. These are very broad categories, so a lot of stuff can be used. And again, what that basically says is to the government, the Department of Defense, hey, you know, there's a consortia out there for just about anything you might want to do. I don't think there's too much work, in the prototyping space that you couldn't find a consortia that would fit.
In fact, there's a Defense Ordnance Consortium that covers ammunition, demilitarization, weapon systems, rockets, missiles, and bombs. There's a consortium for automotives, space, command and control, energy, electronic warfare, analytics, systems, training enterprise systems, networks, forensics, and the list goes on. At this point, there's two main ways DoD can get the technology it wants or get new ideas from industry. It can send a broad agency announcement to the consortium with a general requirement and ask for ideas, or it can use one of the organizations the Pentagon set up to go out and find companies to solve specific problems. The Defense Innovation Unit Experimental is one of the first organizations in this era created by DoD to reach out and make contact with non-traditional companies. The Defense Innovation Unit Experimental, or DIUX, pioneered the use of New Age OTAs by putting feet on the ground in Silicon Valley and places like Austin and Boston and cozying up to non-traditional companies. In 2016, DIUX spent $36 million, but the largest contract went to a more traditional company, Tanium, for more than $13 million. The second largest award, at $12.6 million, went to Composite Engineering and Kratos, both intimately familiar with working with DoD. In 2017, DIUX awarded 48 contracts for prototypes, but only two of them were actually moved into production, says the program's annual report. A congressional staffer told Federal News Radio that everyone talks about how amazing DIUX is, but they've actually produced no fieldable systems. They're just handing out money. The congressional aide said DIUX and some uses of OTA are akin to corporate welfare. The staffer says hopefully DoD is doing its job and doing some adult supervision, or some of its own people may end up in jail. In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.